2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we start from verse 1.
We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain.
You are received the grace of God not in vain. God gives you grace in each and everything. If something you say, I cannot do it, what you need? Grace of God. And he says we are all workers together. And last week, if you remember, chapter 5 and verse 20, what did we read? We are all ambassadors for Christ. And that's why he's saying we are all working together for Jesus Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, please read.
For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building.
We are laborers together with God. That means we are not working alone. God is working with us. And God's grace is with us. That's why St. Paul is saying, we are working together and we are working with God. And not only that, he has given his grace to work for him. So no one can say, I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to tell anybody about Jesus. What you need is grace of God. Once we have grace of God, and God is working with us, we are not alone, then we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. We are not alone. God is always with us in all the trials and tribulations and problems we go through. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He promises that he will always be with us. Even we are working for him. He says we are working with God. Let's go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2.
For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Now he says, I heard you. Who is saying? God says, I heard you. All the time, these Old Testament people were crying to God for help. But God says there is a time set. That's the time your prayer will be answered. What was that time set? That time set that one day he will send his son to die on the cross of Calvary. And that's the time for redemption for mankind. That will be the time for salvation for mankind. And this is recorded in the Old Testament, but they did not have the experience what we have. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 49 and start reading from verse 6 to 8.
And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages.
Now this is the time people were waiting, that the Savior will come as the light of the world, and he will redeem the mankind. And now this is the time. The time period of grace and salvation and redemption is here. We don't have to look further because Jesus Christ has already provided the salvation. So when you're talking to somebody, say, why are you delaying? Today is the day of salvation, not for tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. tomorrow will be always tomorrow. So do whatever you want to do today. And special thing is, for the salvation is for today. Let's read the book of Psalms. 95 Psalms, verses 7 to 10. Psalm 95, 7 to 10.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, that they have not known my ways.
So what is trying to say? You hear my voice today,
yes, sir,
and you obey me today. Not like the children of Israel. He says, 40 years, they did not hear the voice of God. True. Can you imagine, not 1 or 2 days? 40 years. And that's why they could not enter into his rest.
Yes, sir.
Some people are thinking, you know, God is gracious, God is loving. God gives you time, 40 years.
Yes, sir.
To repent and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Or say, Lord, you did signs and wonders and miracles, and we will never go back to Egypt. But they left the Egypt, but the Egypt was in their heart all the time.
Amen.
They never changed their heart and their mind. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and start reading from verse 7.
Again, he limited a certain day, saying, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his.
Today, if you hear his voice, you say yes to God. Because tomorrow never comes. He says those people did not listen to him. I'm talking about the Old Testament people. They could not enter into his rest. So the rest is kept for us. Rest is not talking about Sabbath day. Rest is talking about when we go to heaven, no more labors. We will have rest for eternity. That's eternal rest he's talking about. So the word of God saying, if you hear his voice today, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because this is the time of grace, the time of peace, and time of joy is today. Tomorrow will be too late. Let's go back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3.
Give me no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed.
Now St. Paul is saying, we are workers together. God is working with us. He has given us grace. He has called us in the definite calling. And we have this kind of good time to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the door of grace is open right now. So he says, we give thanks to God, and what we say, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. So what is trying to say? The chance is here to go and preach the gospel. People are thinking it is easy to go and preach. Just like I said before, it's easy because we have grace of God, God is working with us. And going and preaching is sounds so easy. But he says, before you go and preach the gospel, people should not be pointing fingers at you. That means your life should be holy and acceptable to God. God will not work with somebody whose life is not right with God.
Amen.
When you say God is your partner, God is not going to make somebody partner which is not holy partner. So in short, what he's trying to say, before you preach, The person has to be born again, saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, has to have the calling from God, knows the word of God, and live for God. Those are the people can work for God. You, and not only that, if your life is not pure in the sight of God, and if you are not blameless in the sight of God, you cannot be preaching. So he says, nobody should blame our ministry. That means our ministry should be complete, blameless. And that's the way to serve the Lord. Okay, verse 4.
But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left.
Now see what he's trying to say. When you're working for God, it's not easy. What he's saying, we're proving ourselves, our ministry, means he said, how I'm working for the Lord. He says, I'm working with much patience, afflictions, in distress, stripes, imprisonment, rioting, hard labor, sleepless nights and fastings, pure heart with the knowledge of God, long suffering, and with the Holy Ghost and the love with unselfish love. That's the way we are serving the Lord. And the verse 7 is said, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left hand. What is trying to say? When you're working the word of truth, that word of truth comes with the power of God. And when you're preaching the word of God with the power, you have to have the righteousness. So what is saying? The righteousness, the arm of righteousness, means we are wearing the armor of righteousness. And that righteousness, and when we have right hand and left hand all together, we are doing the same kind of work. It's not like a right hand doing something and left hand doing something else. Both hand means totally surrender to God. Our attention is to the Lord and we are working by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit and by the righteousness of God. He says, I'm wearing this armor of righteousness. What does it mean? If somebody looks at me, they should see the righteousness of God in me. And say, working through the righteousness. When you're working, your right hand and left hand should be working with what? The same righteousness. Amen. Not with one mind something and another mind something else. Mm. So he says, I am by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left hand. That's the kind of ministry God wants. He doesn't want people preaching something and doing something else. I told you, the man says, I cannot preach without smoking. Is that not the armor of righteousness? You cannot have the word of God in your mouth, but you're living a filthy life. The word of God says you cannot serve the Lord like that. When you're serving the Lord, serve with the righteousness and with the power of God. And your left and right hand both work together. Because those hands should be holy hands. You remember what David says, I come with you with my holy hands. Righteous hand. So that the man of God should be living a righteous life. And when the man of God touches somebody with a hand, that hand should stretch by the power of God. That means we do not have our righteousness. We have the righteousness of God. And we work by the power of God, by the righteousness of God. And that's the ministry St. Paul is doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8.
By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true.
Now, we are working by the honor, or somebody give us honor, or somebody dishonors us. Somebody will give us good report or evil report. Somebody say these people are deceivers. He says we are not deceivers. We are the true believers or true ministers of God. He says, I don't care what the other people think. As long as God sees us right, righteous, and true people in His sight, yes, that's what we concern. Sir. Verse 9.
As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed.
He says, as unknown, that means you don't see any Christian ministers' testimony or preaching coming to the secular channels. How many preachers are preaching around the world? But how many non-Christian channels showing what the people are doing in the world? You don't see it. Because they are unknown to those people. But he says, even the people say, we are unknown, but we are well known. Well known to whom? To God. God knows us, and what we're doing doesn't matter. As long we are well known to God and well known in the community, people are knowing us what we're doing. He says, we are dying, but we are still alive. What do you mean dying? People always giving you hard time, they are killing you. You sometimes, some people say, this man is killing me, this person is pain in my neck. All these things are happening, but he says, we are alive. Devil is always after you to destroy you.
Oh, yeah.
But what the word of God said, the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy, but I have come to give you life and more abundant life. When you live for God, abundant life works through you. In the sight of people, you are nobody. But Jesus says, you are my servant. I'm giving you life and live for me. Verse 10.
As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things.
Amen. Now this is a little bit difficult, but it's true. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. This happens to Christian people only. Other people, they have a little bit problem and they have sorrow for a whole day or whole year. Or they might be sorrowing for a lifetime. St. Paul says, we are sorrowful, but we are not showing other people sorrow. We are having problem, but we are not telling everybody what problem we are going through. So what is he saying? We are always rejoicing.
Amen.
That's why St. Paul said, I say rejoice in the Lord and what? Again I say rejoice. He was not telling others, but he was doing the same thing. So he's saying, oh, we are always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. How is possible?
Right.
When you are poor, how can you make somebody rich?
Amen.
But the same Paul say, he gave up everything what he had. But now, he went to the Aquila and Priscilla and they had a business. Tent making business. And he worked with them. And they made lots of money. But he said, I don't have anything. He helped other people with the finances. He said, I have money to make other people rich. People come, they never put a dime in the offering. I sit with them, I teach them. If you give it to the Lord, God will supply your needs. They start giving and they become rich.
Hmm.
Some people go in the business, some people start giving more. So St. Paul saying we are poor, but we are making many people rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. What does that mean? He said, we don't have anything, but what? We have everything
right.
In the Lord. Yeah. Because the word of God says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory
yes,
by Christ Jesus. That means all our needs will be supplied by Christ. And not only that, if the Christ is your partner,
true,
then you don't have any lacking.
Yes.
Everything what God has,
yours,
you have.
Amen.
That's why he says, having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's what the Christian life is all about. You don't sit there and say, oh, I don't have a job. Oh, I don't have money. Oh, I don't have a house. I don't have this. He said, I have everything. Why? Because you have Jesus. If God is my helper, then he will help me everything,
yes,
what I need.
That's right.
God is my supplier. So I would never sit there and say, I don't have this, I don't have this. We have everything in Christ.
Amen.
We are never poor. The word of God says Jesus Christ was rich. He became poor. So with his poverty, we can be rich. The same way St. Paul is saying, I am poor, but I'm making many rich. What Jesus did, we can do the same. Mm-hmm. Verse 11.
O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged.
Now he's saying to this Corinthians, not only Corinthians, anybody who is listening or reading. He says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. So what he's trying to say? He says, O Corinthians, all of these things I'm telling you, you know what he said? How much suffering he did, all the lines of suffering he showed. He says, all of this I'm saying, now I'm opening my mouth and telling you. Why? Because my heart is enlarged. Means I'm full of God. I'm full of joy. I'm full of God's blessing. And that's what I'm telling you. But your heart is crunched. Your heart is small and narrow. And you do not understand what I'm trying to tell you. But I'm telling this as my children. Why he's saying children? Because you can scold your children. You cannot scold somebody's child. You can slap your child, but you cannot slap somebody's child on the street. So he said, I am telling this as my children and encouraging you that you should be having the same experience like me. And you should be doing the same thing to me. That's what he's trying to say. Be also enlarged. Do the things what I am doing. So as a father, as a leader, I'm giving an example and do the same like I am doing it. My mouth is open, my heart is open, and I'm telling this for your good. Sometimes when somebody says something and they don't like it, but if you think it's my dad, it's my leader telling me something for my good. That's why St. Paul is saying, I'm telling this just like my own children. Be also enlarged. Keep your heart open. Keep your mind open. And start doing the things what I'm doing. Verse 14.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?
He's saying, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So what he's trying to say, some of the Christians having fellowship with non-Christians. Now somebody says, what's wrong with that? You can go and minister to non-believers, but you cannot have intimate relationship with unbelievers.
That's right.
Do what they're doing. You know, I want to go to bar and sit at the bar and drink something and talk with people so I can bring them to Christ. Is it possible?
No way.
No. You cannot go to bar and be like them to win them. Is it possible?
No.
No. So he says, be not unequally yoked. When you say yoke, one bull this side, one bull this side, and yoke is like this. Mm-hmm. If the yoke is not equal, what would happen? The one bull will not doing the work and the other bull will carrying the whole weight. So what he's trying to say, you should not be having unequally yoke, both working together same way. So if you want to find a friend, for a lifetime friend, find a friend who is Christian. We are not talking about the color, language, or we are not talking about the country. We are talking about the Christianity. We are not prejudiced about language and color. So when you finding a friend and you just talking to somebody, but that friendship going to be husband and wife, then you should be thinking, am I unequally yoked with this person? If you are, then you will have problems. Because your cart is not going to go smooth. You will be running in a circle. So that's what he said. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So the righteousness and unrighteousness doesn't mix together. There is no friendship with the righteousness and unrighteousness. And then say, what communion hath with the light, with the darkness? Did you find any time darkness and light mix together? They will never mix together. When the darkness is there and when you bring the light, darkness disappears. You cannot mix darkness and light together. So that's the way the Christianity is supposed to be. If you are the light and the salt of the earth, then you should not be mixing your life with the darkness. You should be always shining as a light. Okay, verse 15.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part he that believeth with an infidel?
Now he's giving a Christ example. He says, do you think that Christ will be having a friendship or intimate relationship with the devil? Devil is called what? Antichrist, or Satan is called Antichrist. What do you mean Antichrist? Means always he will be against Christ. Now, you cannot have intimate relationship with Satan. That means say Christ will not have intimate friendship with the idol or the devil or Satan. He can only have intimate relationship with what? The bride or the believers. So he said, if the Christ cannot have the fellowship or intimate relationship with Satan, then how come the believers have the friendship with unbelievers? It doesn't match. So if you are pure and holy in the sight of God, you should not be mixing with unholy people.
Amen.
You will be unholy, you will be dirty. So here is saying you believer should not be mingling with unbeliever.
True.
We can go and talk to them, but no intimate friendship.
That's right.
Verse 16, 2 Corinthians 6, 16.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Amen. So here is saying, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So he said, God is not approving the idol temple and God's temple as an equal. The word of God says, I will not even dwell in the hand-built temple.
That's right.
Now, all other religious people, their gods, they live in temple. Mm-hmm. And they have a god made with a silver and gold and some other precious stone or whatever. But people come and worship them in the night time. They have to have guards to watch their gods.
Yes.
If they don't, somebody will steal their gods. But our God doesn't live with the handmade temples. What he says? You are the temple of the living God.
Amen.
Not the idols. But the idols lives in the hand-built temple. God says, I do not live there. I do not have mingle with the idols. What God wants you to be his temple. God says, I want to live in you. So you are the temple of the living God. And what God says, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is what God wants. So he doesn't want to leave filthy temple. Go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. What kind of temple he wants?
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
So what he's trying to say, you are the temple of God. And if anyone defiles the temple of God, he says, then God himself will destroy the temple. So what does it mean? He says, I do not want you to defiling my temple. You are my temple, and I want to dwell in you. And so go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. This temple is purchased by God. And how is purchased? He shed his precious blood. We are not belong to ourselves, we are belong to God.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
You are the temple of God. You are purchased by Christ, shedding his precious blood for you. You are not your own. Now you glorify God with your body, soul, and spirit. They are all belong to God. You cannot say, means a Christian cannot say, this is my body. I can do anything with this body. This is mine. He says, who gave you this body? God has created you in the image of God. And he has put his spirit in you. So now we are the temple of the living God. And so God dwells in what? Holy temple. God does not stay in an idol temple. Idol means it's not God. Idol is the devil. All idol worshippers, the word of God says, they are worshipping the devil. And people even do not know. So God cannot mingle with the devil. He wants the temple to be holy. And he says, if you keep my temple holy, then I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the word of God says, I will walk in them. Go to the Revelation chapter 2. John saw the vision that Jesus Christ is walking among the church, or midst of the church. Revelation 2:1.
Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks.
He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, or seven golden lamps, or the golden candlesticks represents the church. And the star represents the ministers. So the ministers are in his hand, and he is walking in the midst of the church. So that's the relationship. The minister is supposed to be in the hand of God. Don't go out of the hand of God. Stay in the hand of God. And then God says he will take the minister in his hand, and he will walk in the church. That means Jesus Christ will be among the church and walking among us if the minister stays in the hand of God. So he says, I will walk in them, and they will be my children, and they will be my people. So this is the promise of God. So we cannot say, whatever I want to do, I'll do, and still God loves me, and still God knows my weaknesses. He said, no. Read the following verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17.
Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you.
If you are living in those people, you are having this idol worship, you are having your unholy thing, I'll give you a chance. Come out of them. Means come and repent. Say, Lord, enough is enough. And I want to be with you. Then he said, therefore, come out from among them and be ye separated. Means what? Stay separated life means what? Holy life. Clean life. Life pleasing to God. That's the kind of life you want to live, then get out of those people. Get out of them, be separated, said the Lord, and what? And touch not unclean things. What unclean things? Anything defile your body. You have to find out what are the things destroys you. What are the things destroys you and you know it? What he says? Touch not unclean things. Then I will receive you. So God says, if you want to come to me, you give up the filthy things. You remember Jesus Christ says to the blind man, come. What did he say? He didn't say, let me take my stick, let me take my gown, let me take my pot where I keep the money, and then I'll go. Word of God says he left everything and followed Christ. So once Jesus Christ calls you, you do not have any excuses. You go to him. Amen. Then he supplies your needs. Then he will give you everything what you need. But if you don't understand what following Christ is, then you see your problem.
That's true.
Once you found Jesus, you have everything.
Amen.
That's why he said, don't touch those things, give up all those things, then follow me. Then I will receive you. Verse 18.
And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Amen. How much promise you need. He says, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord, what? Almighty God. He said, I'm not ordinary God. I'm Almighty God. I want you to be my children. I want you to be my sons and daughters. And how you can be a sons and daughter? St. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says what? As many as received him, to them he gave power or authority to be called the sons of God. Go to the book of Romans chapter 8 and start reading from verse 14 to 16. We are the children of God. God has called us with a definite high calling. And once you follow the Lord, then you can say from your heart, go ahead, Abba Father.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
How we can be a children of God? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means what? If you are a born-again child of God, the Spirit of God will lead you. Where? In the holiness. Spirit of God will lead you to go to church. Spirit of God will lead you to read the Bible. Spirit of God will lead you to do good and righteous things. Don't tell me like somebody tells me, you know what? God told me to kill that person. God told me to rob the bank. God told me to crash my car somewhere. Did God tell you? No. Who told you? The devil. How do you know? The devil comes to kill, steal and destroy.
Amen.
The devil wanted to destroy your life. That was devil.
Yeah.
It sounded like God, but God does not tell you to do wrong thing.
Yes,
here
sir.
He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God will not lead you to do wrong thing. If you're doing a wrong thing, then what spirit is leading you? The demonic spirit is leading you, not God's spirit. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you are the sons of God. Go ahead.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Abba.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
That means there is no doubt in my mind that the Spirit of God is not leading me. The Spirit of God will not lead you astray.
Amen.
The Spirit of God will give you the sign in your spirit that you have belonged to God.
Praise the Lord.
Once you belong to God, then what? You are His children.
Amen.
Will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. This is the promise. If you follow Jesus Christ, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the righteousness of God, and everything what is belong to God is belong to you.
Yes,
so what St. Paul is saying in short, he says, we have a ministry. Our ministry should be blameless. And then God has given us this courage to preach the glorious gospel of God. And God has promised that He will work together. And so we are all, our workers, our laborers together with Christ. And we are what? Ambassador for Christ. And this is the ministry God has given us. So let not be shameful to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What St. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
That gospel of Christ gives us what? Power unto salvation. Shall we rise and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, giving up all our wickedness, all our filthiness, all our bad habits, and all evil things.
Yes.
Looking unto Jesus,
yes,
running our race, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Our right hand and our left hand, together, work for Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, give us that vision to follow Christ. You are coming very soon. Prepare us, O Lord, for your soon coming. And give us grace to prepare others for your soon coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.